We start reading in Isaiah in chapter 50, book of Isaiah chapter 50, read in verse 2. Wherefore did I come, and there was no man? I called, none to answer. Is my hand at all shortened, that I cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? And then in Luke's Gospel, and chapter 23, Luke 23, verse 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple rent in the midst. And Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he expired. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, Hebrews 6 and verse 18, that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible that God should lie, we might have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil, where Jesus is entered as forerunner to us, become forever a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. I would like that we might be engaged a bit with God's power. There is a lot made of power nowadays, and all efforts are made to have more and more power available according to man's mind. But the power of God has been shown in the gospel, and particularly in the Lord himself. You know, since the beginning, the power of God was there. And we are very thankful for the first book of the Bible that tells us faithfully how God created the earth and the power that was displayed in that creation. But soon, men disobeyed. And the question that God puts to men, is my hand shortened that I cannot redeem? It wasn't the first time that God had asked that question. He had already asked it to Moses at the beginning, when he asked him if his hand was shortened. And then he said, look and see whether my word will be accomplished. That was the power of God to redeem his people. That was the old dispensation. It was a special people, a people according to God's desire and plan. But, of course, as we know, they didn't follow up that line, and they fell as we have all fallen in disobedience. And so, is God's hand short that it cannot redeem us? That question is a searching one in the heart of each one. If you are not a believer, that question will stir your heart. Is God's hand shortened? Has it not the same power that it had in creation? Exactly the same power is there. The power that can create is the power that can redeem. It's the same power. The power that is expressed in the way in which God is available today in the Lord Jesus. What means God has chosen is a wonder of his sovereignty. He has chosen all means to show that his power was there. Think of the miracles with the people of Israel in Egypt. Think of the way in which God spoke through his prophets. Think of the way in which he had servants dedicated to him that could show his power. Think of Elijah, think of Samuel, think of Daniel, when he was delivered many times, think of him in the den of the lions, and the power of God that was there ready to deliver. Do you believe in the power of God? It's a power that is not shown speaking reverently in authority in this way, in judgment, but is shown in love. It's a power that reaches the heart in love. It will have the judgment side of it, but at the moment, in the dispensation of grace, is a power displayed in love. And grace is there to redeem. It doesn't say anything else. It speaks of redemption, because we need redemption. We are sinners, and we need to be redeemed. Redeemed means that we are delivered from the power of the enemy, the power of the one who wanted to overrule us, and we are transported in that way under the power of our loving God. So in that way we'll be able to witness the power of God in redemption. Now, when was that redemption accomplished? It was accomplished in a moment in which all unrighteousness was there. Can you think of a worse legal process than the one that the Lord had to undergo? A man who had done nothing amiss, as the robber on the cross could witness, a man that was going around in grace, healing, giving life, he was condemned as a sinner. What unrighteousness from the part of mankind. But the power of God was there. The power of God was showing itself in the fact that the Lord took that body to accept that part as a perfect servant in complete dependence on his Father. Think of these words on the cross. He says that the Lord cried with a loud voice. There was power there. You wouldn't expect somebody dying on the cross to be able to cry. But the Lord Jesus had that power. We speak with reverence about these matters, but it is there. It is witnessed in Scripture. We are very thankful to Luke, because it's a unique report of this fact. The Lord cried with a loud voice, and he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Think of the power that is there. The Lord was able to lay down his life, and he was also able to take it up again. But here, he was laying it down. Nobody else could do that. They just died on the cross, as men die. But the Lord Jesus had a powerful death in that way. He was powerful as God. He could, although independence on his Father, because he says, "Father, into thy hands," but he was able to just to commit his spirit, and he expired. The moment in which the power of God was expressed in such a powerful way, in such a way that can reach the heart of each one, there is no other salvation. There is no other redemption. The Lord on the cross can really redeem each sinner. He can redeem me. He can redeem you if you haven't yet put your trust in him. It's such a powerful way in which he acted, and it's as if it is everything was calm in the Lord. Although undergoing such suffering, he was absolutely calm in putting his spirit into the hands of his Father and just laying down his life. As we know, he has taken it up again, and we bless him for that. That is why he's not only a Savior to us, but he's also a Lord to us. Because he has taken his life up again, and he can therefore exercise rights upon your hearts. He has been powerfully redeeming you, and he can powerfully lead you through life in dependence on him. We have been considering precious thoughts during the reading because it was the witness of the disciples, as our brother was pointing out very helpfully, that there is absolute witness to the Lord's life here, to his death and to his resurrection. No doubts about it. It's down in history, and it can be down in our hearts through the redeeming power of God in our hearts. So I thought of the believer on the way. If you haven't yet put your trust in the Lord, tonight is the moment. It is a present time available in grace. We don't know what can happen in a few moments. We might not be here. If time is in the Lord's hands, it's time for you to believe on him. And this is a gospel preaching to that effect. And there are many gospel preachings to that effect. And the gospel is being preached because the time is a time of grace. Come to the Lord and take heed to his power in redemption and in saving you and in laying down his life and in taking it up again. But when you have trusted in him, you become a believer. And when you become a believer, your first reaction is to be filled with joy about what the Lord has done. But then the walk is there, the pathway is there, and it has to be trodden on account of the fact that we are still here. And as you tread the pathway, you have need of the power of God. And the power of God comes in this book through the fact, word says here, we might have a strong encouragement. I've been thinking of this expression lately. There is not much that encourages us in the world. Quite a few things, the opposite, depress us, if you think about it. Because apparently there is no human hope for what is happening. But the strong encouragement comes from inside on account of the power of God expressed in the Lord Jesus. He speaks here of this hope. He says, we have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Don't you think that, dear hearer, that is a time in which we can really experience this fleeing for refuge? Outside from, away from all that can really encompass us, and that can really make us despair, humanly speaking, we flee for hope on account of the way in which the Lord's power is there, soon to change all that is around us, change everything, change the condition of mankind and of the earth, as we refer this morning, the new heaven and the new earth. But in the time being, we have this hope before us, set as an anchor of the soul. We spoke during the reading of that being what is made sure. Now, what is sure nowadays, if nothing else but what comes, is what is connected to the Lord Jesus as the rock, the one that really can make us sure, an anchor for our souls. You know, when the anchor gets the sure soil, then there won't be any movement, there won't be any loss. This is exactly the power that is available in the gospel, not only to redeem, but the power is available to make you sure in your belief, in your pathway, in your hope. And then it goes further on. It says that he's entering into that within the veil where Jesus has entered. I think this is very fine. This is, in a way, the glorious part of the gospel, what is inside. the Lord Jesus, when he died, he says that the veil was rent as a type. And what is the opening has been made for us. We can go in. We have been in, dear brethren, this morning in the occasion of the first occasion, and we have enjoyed this position inside. It's true, sometimes when the occasion finishes, we have an impression of what we enjoyed. It's a bit difficult to get back to the earthly conditions. It's like a bump down, but the Lord knows all that, and he gives us this hope, because the Lord Jesus is inside. He's gone in as a forerunner to become a high priest, not only to lead us as a Savior and as a Lord, but also to lead us in the service. That is the answer that comes from the gospel. The gospel transforms a sinner into a believer and a believer into a worshiper. That is exactly the hope that is within the veil, the hope that we can have in our Lord who has gone there. May we be affected by the power of God expressed in the Lord Jesus. You know, you want to know that power as it is gracious towards you. You won't want to know it when it is a judgment for you. It will be a terrible power for those who will have to go undergo the judgment. But at the moment, you can avoid that by believing in the Lord Jesus now, today, and to experience his power. May this be your experience and our experience together for his name's sake.